So it is just after 10 o'clock GMT, and we start in the United Kingdom, where former Chancellor Rishi Sunak has just announced that he will run to become the next Prime Minister. Candidates hoping to lead the governing Conservative Party have one more day to gather the support of at least 100 members of Parliament. Former Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to be Sunak's main challenger, but he is yet to announce his candidacy officially. He met Sunak for talks on Saturday. Tallies by British media suggest that Sunak has a clear lead in the number of MPs backing him. However, Johnson's backers say that he also has enough to run. Senior cabinet member Penny Mordaunt has also declared that she's running, but it's unclear if she has enough support to even enter the race.
I'm not sharing my canvassing data with the others. I am very confident about the progress we are making, and I will say to you that I am in this to win it. I think it's important for our party. We have a contest. I am very confident about our numbers. And the reason why I am doing this is because I think I am best placed to bring the party together.
Stephanie Decker is live for us in London. Stephanie, we knew Rishi Sunak was running, but now he's made it official.
Yes, it really is all about what is official and what isn't. He, as early as yesterday, his camp had already said they have the numbers. They have over 100 nominations, which is what the candidates need, as you mentioned there, to run for the post of leader of the party and prime minister. So just in the last half hour, he tweeted a statement saying, I'm standing to be the next prime minister. The UK is a great country, but we face a profound economic crisis. And I want to fix the economy, unite our party and deliver for our country now. Now, fixing the economy is a major task. We're talking about all the ins and outs of the specifics of the political back and forth here, but this is a country and a people facing a severe economic crisis. So whoever comes into Downing Street is going to have to tackle that immediately. Now we're going to have to wait and see what Boris Johnson's next step is. These are two men who have a very turbulent past. They had that meeting last night, as you mentioned. There was some speculation perhaps a deal would be struck which would prevent the members of the Conservative Party voting for the next Prime Minister. This is what's going to happen if you have more than one candidate. They'll be voting and then we'll know on Friday. But Boris Johnson this morning coming out to supporters and saying that he is not backing down, that he is the man for the job, and that despite the public tally of those supporting him, which is around 50, I think, still at this point in time, he says, and his supporters say, that he has those numbers. So at this point, it's a waiting game, whether he's going to throw his hat into the ring today, whether he's going to wait until tomorrow. 2 p.m. is that deadline on Monday until all candidates need to say that they have the numbers. Penny Mordaunt, the only one saying that she's running, not clear yet if she has those numbers.
Stephanie, on that Boris Johnson-Rishi Sunak meeting, I mean, observers of British political life will agree with us that it's not lacking for drama, this very short race for the leadership. What do we know, if anything, about that meeting?
Yes, the meeting was behind closed doors, so we have absolutely no information as to what was discussed. I think, you know, it is clear, as you mentioned there, these two men are not friends. They have a history. Boris Johnson appointed Rishi Sunak as Chancellor. He was quite unknown at the time, but the bigger picture in the events that progressed is that Rishi Sunak then was one of the first to call for Boris Johnson to stand down amid the scandals that Boris Johnson is still under investigation for. So Boris Johnson sees him as having stabbed him in the back, as being the man that perhaps led to his downfall. Many others would tell you that Boris Johnson has managed to bring those things upon himself. Having said all that, this gives you a little bit of context between the animosity, perhaps, between the two men. But, you know, no one is backing down, it seems, certainly at this point, according to the words of Boris Johnson. He hasn't still officially put his hat into the ring. But I think from what it looks like, for the moment, at least, it looks like the two men could be the front runners for this race. For all of this back and forth, I think when you talk to the people here, if we bring it back down to what really matters, you have all this political back and forth with personal issues and agendas and people wanting to keep their job. This is a party that is hugely fragmented. This is a party at its own neck for years now. And this is also what you're seeing. The question is, can this party even govern moving forward with the divisions that there are? This is why many people are also calling for a general election. But this is a party polling at an all-time low. So observers will tell you that that is not going to be something that they will be doing, certainly not voluntarily But a lot of people, a lot of Brits wanting to be able to have their own say as to who's going to be running their country.
Stephanie Decker reporting live from London. Thank you very much. Let's take a look back at Boris Johnson's downfall as prime minister. He was already a divisive figure when he came to office in 2019. Many Britons saw him as an opportunist who used turmoil around Brexit to push out his predecessor. But his handling of the pandemic the following year and the scandals that emerged hurt his popularity even among conservative voters. In December last year, reports emerged of several illegal parties at Johnson's official residence during COVID-19 lockdowns. In June, he survived a confidence vote, but with just 60% of his MPs backing him. But Johnson was finally forced out the next month after several senior cabinet members resigned, and that includes Rishi Sunak, his rival today. All right, let's speak to Daniel Kavchinsky, a conservative member of the UK Parliament. He joins us live, as it were, from Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. Do you already know who you're going to back in this race?
No, I don't, because my local party in Shrewsbury is conducting an online poll of our members, which will be published at 5 o'clock this afternoon, London time. And it's my intention to, obviously, wanting to see the results of that poll of my local party members before I make my final decision.
Will you decide? So will you do what the poll says? If they say Penny Mordaunt, you back Mordaunt. If they say Boris Johnson, you back Johnson?
Well, I think the problem that we have with this election is that it is so polarized. The characters are creating so much polarization, not only with party members, but with the electorate themselves, the characters, the nature of the characters, what's happened over the last few months. It's created a very difficult, impassioned, and at times tense situation. And therefore, I think the best thing for a member of parliament under those circumstances is to not only take into account his or her own feelings and consideration, but also those of the members. Mm. So I've decided that the result of that will ultimately influence the way I vote, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you differently then. What are you looking for in the next prime minister?
Well, what I can say is that, I'm very disappointed and disheartened. As somebody who has dedicated my professional life to the Conservative Party, I've been a Conservative Member of Parliament for 17 years, I've never known this sort of rancor and division. And it is very destabilizing for the party, destabilizing for the country. So it's extremely important that we find somebody who can bring the party together, who can try to engage with the electorate and prepare us for a general election. Because, you know, the Labour Party is getting stronger and stronger. I think they're very left-wing in the United Kingdom, and I think they will do great damage to our economy. So our adversary is not each other. Our adversary is our political opponents in the Socialist Party.
So in that case, does that rule out Boris Johnson then? Because he was persona non grata when he left. Why is the Conservative Party now considering bringing him back only a few months later? What has he done in the interim that would change the way he is perceived by the general public and by conservatives, other than go on holiday?
It's not what he's done. It's what's happened subsequently to his removal from office. The media, and I put a lot of the responsibility on this, on the British media, we had nothing for 6 months in the United Kingdom, apart from a media hysteria as to whether or not the Prime Minister had a glass of wine or a piece of cake in the garden of number 10 Downing Street. And our country was taken over for 6 months by that media hype. Subsequently, as a result of his removal, we've had a new government, a new prime minister, a completely new approach, which has actually failed to secure what Mrs. Truss wanted to secure through the financial markets. And that has caused even greater problems for us. So we have a saying here in the United Kingdom, hold on to nurse for fear of worse. And sometimes throwing somebody under a bus, ditching them, removing them halfway through a period of office has very calamitous consequences. Mm. And that's what we're experiencing at the moment.
All right, Danielle Kavchinsky, thank you very much. And to your point on media, I suspect the British media would answer that they were holding the Prime Minister to account. Thank you so much for your time today on Al Jazeera.
Thank you.